Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We're glad you're here. And if you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you have come to worship our God together with us. If you would turn to the 42nd Psalm. What we realize when you look through the Bible and the things that are said about our relationship with God, you come to realize that God wants to have a relationship with us. And He has promised that He will care for us and He will be the one that will protect us as well. And He has empowered us to do certain things. And this morning we're going to look at some of those things. In the first two verses of Psalm 42, the psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for Thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Verse 5 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence." The psalmist talks about hungering and thirsting for God and for wanting His presence. And knowing that He has promised to be with us, he says ultimately at the end of verse 5 and also at the end of the last verse, verse 11, he talks about the fact that I again will praise Him for the help of His presence. God wants to be with us. He wants us to look for Him. And when we find Him, we praise Him and we glorify Him. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, God seeks to know His creation. He seeks to know us. He spent time with Adam and Eve, and we're told in Genesis, in the cool of the day, having a relationship and having fellowship with Him. At the end of the Bible, we are also told that God says for us to come to Him. He desires that. He desires His presence and our relationship with Him while we are on this earth. And ultimately, He desires that we spend eternity with Him. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to have a part in what He has planned for His creation. And so He has made promises to us about what throughout the Bible, to His people, and ultimately to us. In Exodus chapter 3, in verses 11 and 12, one of the things that God says to Moses, when Moses is getting ready to go face Pharaoh, and he asks God about how he's going to be able to do this, and God says, "Certainly I will be with you. Certainly, I will be with you." And because Moses is supposed to be fearless, he is supposed to be courageous, knowing that his God, that Jehovah God, will be with him. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Again, It's a relationship and a discussion between God and Moses. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since Thou hast spoken to Thy servants, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him dumb or deaf? or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he says, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. Moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he comes to you, you will be glad in his heart. And you are to speak to him. And you are to put the words in his mouth. And I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and it shall come about that he shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be as God to him. I, even I, will be with you, he says. I will be as your mouth to teach you what you are going to say. God promised that he would be with Moses and Aaron as they confronted Pharaoh. In Deuteronomy 31 and verses 6 and 8, God says to the people, he says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God promised he was going to be with them. And he was. He never faltered in any promise that he made. Whether it was made to Moses, whether it was made to Aaron, whether it was made to the children of Israel. He kept his word always. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, Joshua becomes the leader of the people of God. God makes a promise to him. He says, just as I was with Moses, he says, I will be with you, even as I was with Moses. So you think about the relationship that God had with Moses and the promise that God made to Moses. And God says to Joshua, just like that, I will be with you. One of the last things that Jesus said to his apostles, he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That's a promise he made to his apostles. I will be with you. Can't we take comfort in that? That God has said he's going to be with us. And the way that he is with us, he's given us everything that we need. He's given us that through his word. Through his will. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Hebrew writer says, he says of God, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. In other words, I will be with you always. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to desert you. And what God did to people of old, he made his presence known to them. His presence known to him. He desired to have an intimate relationship with his people. Jesus came to this earth so that we could see God. And he has promised to be with us. In difficult times that we face in this life, we need to know about the presence of God. We need to know what God has said to us, what promises he has made to us. But sometimes what happens is that we fear. And not only do we fear, but sometimes it bothers us that we sometimes think that we are the only ones that are out there trying to do God's will. But that's not so. Do you go back and read how God was with people like Elijah and how He was with Samuel? He guided them. He helped them. God told us from the very beginning that it was not good for man to be alone. God said that when He sent out the 70, He sent them two by two. God would provide for them and would take care of them. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, the writer says, two are better than one. And if they says, and a threefold cord shall not be easily broken. There is power in being and doing what God wants us to do and what He wants us to be, if we will but rely upon Him. God wants us to want Him as a presence in our lives. But oftentimes we are searching for something that we want and we're not exactly sure. I mean, we're feeling it, but we don't know exactly sure what it is that we are asking for or we are searching for. And so oftentimes what we do is we search and search, and instead of going to God's Word, we find substitutes for God's Word. That's what the devil wants us to do. We have to be on guard always. God is the only one that can fill the void that we have. If you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, He said that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. No one else can fill it except God. He's the only one. And He desires that. You just think about that. About how a divine being desires to have a relationship with me and with you. The answer is always to go back to God. To seek wisdom and guidance through what it is that God has done for us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. So how does God exactly empower us to be what He would have us to be? How has God revealed Himself to us? You see, God already knows what it is that we need, we are told, before we ever ask, but He wants us to realize what it is that we need. He wants us to realize that He is the one that can fill us up. Not someone else. Not some fake. Not something that is less than God. Is less than deity. So when times are painful, or when times are difficult, what God has promised to do for us is to comfort us. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is how Paul begins this book. He begins it talking about comfort and talking about mercy. Verse 1 says, I'll start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, and we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so we were despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. The God of all comfort. God is that person. In time of affliction, we are supposed to remember what He has done. The way that He comforted Paul, the way that He comforted Paul's people back then, He can comfort us through His Word. That's where we go. He is God of all comfort. In Philippians chapter 4, we also understand that God, through His infinite compassion, He will provide peace and understanding. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He gives us a peace that no one else can give. A peace that passes all understanding. He is a God of compassion. He tells us that while we deal with anxiety and difficult situations in our lives, He says in verse 6, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Rely upon God. Go to Him. Understand that He is waiting to hear from us. And He has made all provision for us because He sees us and He knows who we are. And He knows what we need. There is also an awareness that we have that God has given us. That is the courage. That we need to deal with situations that come up in our lives. If you go back to the book of Joshua, several times in the beginning of this book, notice what God says. Verse 6 of Joshua 1 says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." Verse 18 says, "And anyone who rebels against you command, rebels in your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Be strong and courageous. "For the Lord God is with you wherever you go." And He is to this day. He gives us courage. He's promised to be there. But we have to decide that we are going to act courageously just like Peter and John did. God will be with us. He was with them. He will be with us as well. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. There is a certain confidence and a certain boldness that the Word of God gives us. Verse 19 starts, he says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." Some of your versions say boldness. That we boldly come before the throne of God. He says, "By a new and a living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, not good deeds, not forsaking your own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let us. He has provided a way for us to gain strength and courage and boldness. It is through Jesus. It is through His Word. So He says, let us draw near. God has made every provision for us. In Philippians chapter 4 and in Romans 8. What He does is He tailors the empowerment that we need for each one of us. He is aware of all of our needs and what we need to succeed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors. God has made the provision for us to be what God would have us to be. The question is, have we chosen to rely on God and His provision for us? Or do we have a tendency to ignore what God has said about us? There is a certain contentment that God gives us that empowers us to be what He would have us to be, to do the things that He planned for His creation to do. In Philippians 4, beginning in verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him that strengthens me." All things. What a great God we have. He thinks about us. He provides what we need. He gives us a way to contentment. He tells us in verse 8, if we'll think on these things, that we will grow and we will have the power that we need to deal with the circumstances of life. In Isaiah chapter 40, it is God that lifts us up. It is God that gives us strength. It is God that gives us power. So beginning in verse 27 of Isaiah 40, he says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and they will not become weary. God, He lifts us up on wings of eagles. He gives us the power and the strength that we need to face the difficulties that this earthly life throws at us. You know, sometimes what we end up doing is we ask God to remove difficulties that we're having. God promised that there were going to be difficulties in life, that there's going to be suffering. But sometimes we pray to alleviate that instead of praying for the strength and the power and the might that we need to deal with the problems that we have in this present age. We are told that God has never left the righteous wanting. He never has, and He never will. This is our God. The God that desires to be in our presence. The God that desires to empower us with what we need to succeed in this life. He's given us the strength to face all the temptations. And He's also given us a way of escape if we will but look for it. Our God is a great God. So many things that He does for us, and so many things for which we should be grateful. Put Him first. When you're struggling, go to His Word. Go to God on your knees, because He's given you the power that you need to overcome. He's promised to do that to His people. He did it to the children of Israel. He also has done it with His people in the New Testament. He does it with us as well. He's not going to walk away from us. He will not desert us. He will not forsake us. He's promised that to His people. The question is, are you one of God's people? Have you been adopted into His family? There's so many blessings that are associated with that. If you go back and read Ephesians 1 and see all the spiritual blessings that we have because we have been adopted into His family. But you have to decide that that's what it is that you want. That you want to be what God wants you to be. That you want to submit your life to Him. That you want Jesus to be Lord of your life. That you want to have your sins forgiven. And that you want to be baptized for the remission of sins. You can do that this morning. Or as a child of God, if you're struggling with things in your life and you need us to pray for you or to pray with you, we will. And God will hear. And God will hear you. So whatever your need, won't you please come while we stand and sing?